Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Variety, celebrating more than 115 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
I need to hug him. And I just told him it was perfect and that it exceeded. I told him that I didn't know what I was expecting, but it exceeded expectations. It's a beautiful film, but beyond that, it changed my life in so many ways. And so it was just really, really vital to me to do that.
After screening the completed cut of West Side Story, for the first time, Rachel Zegler couldn't help but express her joy to director Steven Spielberg. I'm Clayton Davis. On this episode of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast, we talked to Rachel Zegler about taking on the iconic role of Maria in Spielberg's new take on the landmark musical, West Side Story. But first, our Award Circuit Roundtable dissects the SAG Award nominations and shares its picks for who should host the Oscars. It's all next on this edition of Variety Award Circuit Podcast. Stay close.
Welcome back to the roundtable. I'm your friendly podcast pal, Michael Schneider, along with Clayton Davis.
Your friendly neighborhood, Clayton.
Your friendly neighborhood, Janelle Riley.
Sorry, very tired. We had to get up early this morning for SAG Award nominations.
This is true. We're recording this on Wednesday, SAG nominations day. Jazz Tanque, welcome,
all
welcome.
All that jazz. All that jazz.
You're making a pun on your own name.
SAG and BAFTA long list today. It was a very fruitful day in the awards sector. Not for Mike, because there's no TV BAFTA now. It's later.
That's fine. And the SAG Awards on the TV side were fine. There were no huge, huge snubs and surprises. There were some, and we wrote about it, Janelle and I. Collabed.
That's
Janelle
right.
Riley, ex-Michael Schneider. Variety edition online right now. We talked a
another
little bit about
Schneider-Riley joint.
Snubs and surprises, but not a ton of TV. So let's just jump to the headlines. Let's talk about some.
Can I ask you about? Yeah. This is going to be so quick on TV. So Succession did not break a record this year.
Came close. Came close.
Pretty damn close. Five, right? It got five.
Yeah. Yeah. Most ever is six. Everybody Loves Raymond and Angels in America in 2004 both got six. Mm. This year got five, which is still huge considering SAG had completely blanked Succession until this year. So they're really making up for lost time.
It's all J. Smith Cameron's fault because I thought J. Smith Cameron was going to.
Yeah, she should have. But that's also the fault of just the Academy not having supporting categories in TV. In addition to not having limited ensembles, which is a huge oversight, especially, you know, in years like this where there are so many amazing limited series ensembles that should be more recognized but aren't.
Or just let them compete in drama and comedy. Like, it really makes no sense. It's like a very dumb omission.
Yeah, it's like they feel like they already have too many awards, which granted, every show has too many awards, but...
I mean, the headline of the day, though, let's talk about that stunt work in Mayor of Easttown, though. That is what really opened things up for us today.
I don't know if you're joking or not, but there is a lot of really great stunt work in Mayor of Easttown.
I mean, sure.
People said the same thing about Trial of the Chicago 7?
Yeah.
Got nominated last year, but those like big crowd scenes, especially in riots, are hard to stage.
Yeah. I can. It was funny because I predicted Yellowstone to get in stunts, and then it got into drama, which was interesting.
Which I was not, the surprise of the day in TV, by the way.
Because when they said yellow, I was like, yes, I got yellow jackets right. And it was like stone. I was like, never mind.
That show is really loved, though.
It is. And finally breaking in after all these years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's suddenly huge. And it is such a sort of across America show. In some ways, SAG makes sense because, as we know, the SAG after membership is across America. So.
Yeah. And let's just pour one out for Selena Gomez. She was like right there, I'm sure. She was.
Yeah, I mean, at least she's in the ensemble. So yeah. Only in Murder's Ensemble did get nominated. So that is still something. But you're right. There are these odd sort of, you know, how do you nominate Oscar Isaac but not Jessica Chastain in Scenes from a Marriage, considering it's a two-hander?
Because yeah. They knew that she was getting her love in the film side, yeah. Which I guess is your transition now.
There you go.
Yeah.
The segue.
So the big story of the day, I believe, and maybe everyone can agree or disagree, that no one had a clean day. No one had no one got everything they were supposed to that equals a Best Picture winner. They all like underperformed in some way or another. Belfast got into Ensemble, which on paper is the clear thing that's going to happen there. Katrina Balfe got in, but both boys, Jamie Dornan and Kieran Hines, missed. Janelle Riley.
Yes.
Listen, very, very observational on the Jamie Dornan flimsiness. The Kieran Hines thing surprises me.
I thought he felt good.
Like, at
least. Yeah. I thought they were both vulnerable just because supporting actor is so packed. But I thought, if anything, Jamie Dornan might miss out because they wouldn't want to, you know, they'd want to spread the wealth and not reward two people from the same movie. The Kieran Hines lack of nomination isn't totally surprising, but it's a real bummer.
Yeah.
And they also might have said, you know, we're recognizing them in Ensemble, so...
Yeah,
there's that.
Yeah, there is that, and I think the good thing also is that I think when I zoned back and looked further, you know, there's years like Three Billboards where you're like, it's Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell, right? And I think we looked at this. I think now I need to look at this more like Spotlight. It's Michael Keaton or Mark Ruffalo, not both. So I think one gets in, and I think we have to decide who that one will be over the next few weeks.
It also could be, you know, I'm not a big believer in this, but a lot of people talk about splitting the vote, you know,
I think it might be a factor.
It could definitely be a factor. I usually point to the fact that two people are often nominated from films, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. And then Power of the Dog, most nominated film of the day, doesn't get into cast ensemble.
Which, again, like, it makes a weird sort of sense because I think that people see it as this three-hander. Or even four-hander with Jesse Plemons.
Jesse Plemons erasure here,
I promise. Yeah. But, you know, something like La La Land was seen as a two-hander, even though it had all these great, like, supporting performances and really could have made the ensemble argument, but... You know, people might just figure that they've recognized the people in their individual categories. I was rooting for it to get the ensemble nomination. Wasn't totally surprised it didn't get it. Don't think it means anything for Best Picture.
I don't think it, considering the last 4 years, three of the last four Best Picture winners won without SAG Ensemble. So then now we know that, like, it's not the nail in the coffin. I think we have a Belfast Power of the Dog race, which is kind of what we've assumed this whole time was going to be the case. I think, though, a new number three has emerged, and her name is Coda.
Oh, God, which I have loved from the start, and I think we all have, actually, and we've been hoping for this outcome.
Coda,
and I would, yeah.
Coda's winning SAG Ensemble. I put money on it right now.
It's gotten so much steam over the last... the last 8 to 12 weeks, like, you've seen that rise. More and more people are watching it. They're paying attention and the love. And we've seen that through Troy coming out in critics. And we've
might
seen
be a front
today,
runner
so, yeah.
at this point. I might be willing to call Troy Kotsur the front runner. Yeah. Although I was, of course, thrilled to see that Bradley Cooper finally got his first major nomination for Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, when it comes to supporting actor, I think we've been dancing around that. So Ben Affleck in there for the Tender Bar, matching his Globe nod.
So glad he might be on his way to his first ever acting nomination as an actor, and he is so overdue.
I'm really surprised because I really like Tender Bar, but it seems like it's just been like kind of this invisible entity, and it was also divided with critics. Bradley Cooper, Troy Kotsur, Jared Leto, and Cody Smith McPhee, who won the Golden Globe. Cody, for me, I think we all kind of been on this page. Cody always seemed like a strange supporting actor winner if we were going to get one in him. In terms of like, he's going to be the second youngest ever to win.
Wow.
You know, because Timothy Hutton was 19 wow. or whatever when he went for Ordinary People. So Cody's 25, even though he looks like he's 15.
And it feels like he's been around for 40 years delivering great performances. Right?
Yeah. So,
and great style.
Yeah, and maybe he does do it now, but Troy and Cody, I think, are the two battleground people, I think, in that category. And I don't know what Jared happens. House of Gucci overperformed today.
Not
everywhere.
Not a surprise.
Actors really like that movie. They really respond to
the performances. I'm not even talking about just SAG. Because SAG, it got three. It got 14 long-listed BAFTA mentions. 14.
The power of the Gaga.
Like, power of the Ridley Scott, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What Clayton said, like seeing that perform really strong with BAFTA was really interesting. Cause like, I think with SAG, like we knew that like they loved this film. There was always a strong turnout when we had back in the day when we had like in-person screenings and Q&As, BAFTA was the biggest surprise. I was not surprised talking about BAFTA, the Spencer snub though.
Well, that's the biggest thing of the day. Kristen Stewart, Miss SAG. And I have been flimsy on Gaga for a few weeks. I thought like she was maybe in a little bit of trouble.
I thought that was crazy. But then, you know, if anyone had told me that Kristen Stewart was in danger, I would have thought they were crazy too.
I mean, I apologize. I feel like my lukewarm Spencer comment on this podcast last week ruined it for Kristen Stewart. I apologize, Kristen.
Yeah, you are in that Academy demographic, you know, of like that range. But like Stewart, like this is always... For the season, we assumed it looked like a Gaga Stewart race.
I'm telling you, Olivia Colman.
Olivia.
Keep an eye on her.
Yeah.
She could. Listen,
but yes, right, I see what you're saying. That is the perception.
Right. But I'll be honest, right now, I think this is Nicole Kidman's to lose.
She's coming in strong. And, you know, she won the Globe. Not that that means anything, but, you know, securing that actress nomination.
Had a good showing at BAFTA, 9 categories at BAFTA shortlisted.
And who doesn't love Nicole Kidman?
Right.
I mean, she's Nicole Kidman. She's freaking amazing.
They love her in this film. Like, the SAG voters did love, they love both of them.
Well, people weirdly like being wrong. And while I never really doubted that she would kick ass in this part, people really get a kick out of the fact that they thought that she was a terrible casting choice and then was so good in the movie.
I will say though, what I'm surprised about being the Ricardo is that Bardem made it, right, which was huge for him, but then even with the Belfast boys out, still no J.K. Simmons.
I was surprised by that and surprised it didn't land in ensemble, but once again, maybe it's seen as, you know, a small ensemble, or even though it's not, you know, they want to... I wasn't that surprised at Javier Bardem. He's so respected, and it's such a charming performance.
Yeah.
But, I don't think this is over by a long shot, though. I could still see J.K. Simmons making it into supporting actor.
Cate Blanchett got life breathed into her campaign today for Nightmare Alley, and then got shortlisted at BAFTA for Don't Look Up and not Nightmare Alley.
Really?
Yes.
Which is shut out a lot in BAFTA, right?
Can we talk about Nightmare? Like Nightmare Alley got 4 categories at BAFTA. 4. Like, it's shortlisted 4. So the most you can get now is... I'm sorry, the most you can get is 3, because one of them is Score, which is already out of the running for Oscar. So I can't tell if people hate Nightmare Alley or they are like...
I don't think anyone hates it, but I don't know that people love it either. I think, like, there's nothing wrong with it at all. It's a very well-made, extremely well-acted movie with beautiful crafts, but I don't know that anyone's passionate about it.
I mean, Don't Look Up is also in that same boat, but again, co-led the BAFTA shortlist with 15.
Wow. And got that ensemble nomination at SAG today, which is pretty huge because that was a crazy competitive category.
Which is interesting. So interesting. Don't Look Up gets SAG ensemble, co-leads BAFTA with West Side Story that had a terrible day at SAG.
A lot of SAG voters I talked to couldn't access that movie. Like, they kept asking me about screeners, and I was like, I believe it's on the site, which is what I was told, that they sent digital screeners.
But Ariana DeBose is there.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes someone's just undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think West Side Story, I think Nightmare Alley probably had the worst day today overall in terms of films that, like, were in the actual hunt. I think West Side Story had a kind of bad day, and I think the best day by far is Gucci. Like, by far, I had the best day of everyone.
I want to add Cyrano into
Cyrano. I love Cyrano.
Wait, was it a good day or a bad day?
Bad day.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it was a bad day.
Heartbreaking.
I still think Dinklage has a shot at Best Actor and Oscar. I felt like it just, because it's coming out so much later, it hadn't built up the momentum it needed to score in the SAG Awards. So I'm not taking it as too serious of a sign, but just personally, I adore that movie.
Yeah,
I think I was going to say someone else who had a good day, Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Twice. Yeah. Jennifer Hudson and Cynthia Erivo. I was going to look up the set and then I just stopped trying to care. Like to look that up. I feel like it was going to take me down a rabbit hole. But I don't think we've ever had a film and TV because it would only happen at Globes or SAG, but like the same character on both sides of the house. I don't think that's ever happened.
Right. It's just wild. And even the way the SAG Awards put out their press release, those categories are right next to each other. And it's just so weird to see two different names next to Aretha Franklin in two different projects nominated at the same time.
And honestly, both were great.
Yeah, this is the end of the Aretha run, right? Like, now this is it.
Yeah. But good run for her, considering I don't think Gina's Aretha really made the same sort of impact culturally that they were hoping at Nat Geo. But at the very least, Cynthia Erivo, again, when you talk about people who are undeniable, she's undeniable.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that she still got a lot of recognition for that role.
Future Elphaba and Wicked.
Yeah,
that's right. And our future... she's the future Elphaba. Our future, Galinda was also nominated with the Don't Look Up ensemble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande.
Can I ask, what do we think of J-Hud? Like, do you think this gets her in or do you think she's like on the cusp? Like, what did her nomination signify?
I actually think this is going to be one of those years where there's not as much overlap as usual between SAG and Oscar, only because I think there's... You know, they've added time on to Oscars. I think we've discussed some of the people who missed out who are still in the race. I would not take Jennifer Hudson out of this race. She's even people who don't like that movie acknowledge that she is fantastic. But I think it's going to be a very interesting when we actually match up the Oscar nominations to the SAG noms.
I put her in my final five. I think, to what Janelle said, she is actually really loved by the Academy and they love this performance. They, you know, there might not be a lot of talk about the film, but she's the one that people are like, back in August, it was like, she is phenomenal in this. And we kind of forget, like, you'd have to, August seems so long ago, but that's been the conversation. It was like, she is brilliant. She's so good in this. And maybe she'll score double.
Oh, yeah, because she is nominated for song. Yeah. Which, by the way, very funny that never happened until Mary J. Blige did it, and then Cynthia Erivo did it, and then Leslie Odom Jr. did it, and now Jennifer Hudson's about to do it. Like, it never happens, and now it's going to be four out of the last 5 years.
Yeah. Right? Now it's expected. Now you better get that double nom.
Now it's a trend. Like, there you go. And then
Peter Dinklage should have done an original song for Cyrano. He could be a double nominee.
Yeah. And then Cumberbatch, Garfield, Smith, and Washington, foreign actor. Bardem's there. Feels like, you know, it could be Bardem or someone else. Yeah, it just kind of, it's going to play itself out.
So many actors in that race, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, Nicolas Cage, really picking up momentum these
Red
last
Rocket
couple weeks.
Red Rocket was not eligible. I know it maybe doesn't matter to say that out. It was not.
Because it wasn't SAG?
I don't know the actual reason. It's got to be about SAG commission, like stuff tied to that. Like it just has to be. But yeah, it was not eligible. It was not on the ballot.
Wow, that is surprising.
So that means, because the last time that happened was Beasts of the Southern Wild, and I mean, a surprise show, and so you're telling me that Simon Rex is getting best actor, and then Sean Baker's gonna get best director, and I'm cool with that.
I would be totally cool with that. Yeah, I think Simon Rex is freaking fantastic, and even if he doesn't win an Oscar, what that movie has done for his career in the future is going to be its own reward.
Last thing probably is that with BAFTA, we said all that led being the Vicaros had a good day. Dune had a good day on BAFTA side. It still got stunt ensemble in SAG, which matters. Yeah. I have to shout out Ana de Armas getting shortlisted at BAFTA for No Time to Die.
Pretty cool.
I love it. And I'm still on, I think No Time to Die gets Best Picture nomination at the Oscars.
I saw you moved it into the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all this talk about Spider-Man, I think we're talking about the wrong popcorn movie. Only movie that was on every shortlist at the Oscars shortlist thing, and it pulled in 12 shortlists at BAFTA today.
I think you're right with No Time to Die. Like, you know, seeing it land in score, sound, makeup, too.
Like, where it kind of has no business in makeup, let's be honest. Like, I mean, it's a good movie, but like, we talk about other makeup achievements, then it doesn't sound like a top fiver.
Right. In the grander scheme of like, let's talk about makeup here. It's like what we're talking about.
But it's there.
It's not the showiest, but I do. Yeah. You mentioned Rami Malek. And also when people are sort of disintegrating from the disease or virus. Why can I not remember the word virus in 2022?
I wonder why.
There's no virus going on. We're talking about. What was your question before, though, about Time to Die?
Oh, no. I actually had a question because I know how I feel on the subject. How do the two of you, and Michael, if you want to contribute, if you're still awake over there, how do you think this affects Kristen Stewart's Oscar odds? Because I don't think it does. But
wait,
you tell
for
me.
For a nomination or a win?
Nomination.
I think she can still get a nomination. I think her win chances died today.
Died. I could say diminished. I don't know about died.
We have a leading performer has never won the Oscar without a SAG nomination. It's just simple. Like, listen, stats can be broken. So
you're gonna bring math at me?
It's just math. like there are people who won Oscar without SAG, all supporting. Only three have done it: Marcia Gay Harden, Christoph Waltz, and Regina King. Lead, it's a harder monster to, and listen, it's a divisive film. Mike Schneider is on the record last week of sharing his theories about that.
I'm
so
sorry, Kristen. I'm sorry.
So I think that's just it. I think she could still get in, but she might skate in.
It's an uphill battle for her now. Yeah. Like, I think that's where, like, she was near the top. She was at the top, and today just kind of went down. Now she's got to climb. BAFTA will be interesting, I think,
That's a test crowd for sure. That's royal family.
That's where to look, I think. And then we can maybe get an inkling. Obviously, we'll see who SAG goes for.
Mike, is this correct? Didn't Emma Corrin miss BAFTA TV that year? Last year? I want
to
say she did.
And check. I
think Diana is just like very testy with the crowd.
Well, really, how will Diana the musical?
She's the non-Aretha. the non-Aretha. Hey, to put a coda on this conversation, intended. Put a coda on the SAG conversation. Got to mention Squid Game.
Oh,
Squid Game.
We missed it there.
Making some history with a nice showing. I mean, we were thinking ensemble, but the fact that it also got in Le for Li Zhongzhe and also Zhang Ho-yun.
Pretty great.
In both female actor and female actress, or female right. actor and male actor.
Yeah.
I'm flummoxed here. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I predicted Li, and I thought Li had a really good... The surprise nod for Zhang Ho. Wait, is it Zhang Ho Yun? Please forgive me. That was a complete surprise, especially like over some big names like in that space. I think Squid Game wins drama ensemble. I think Jeremy Strong or someone's gonna win like obviously actor. And Sarah Snook, I think, is going to take drama actress. And then I think ensemble will go to Squid
Game. Yeah, I think you're right. I think people may split the vote. And given how long it took them to finally like recognize Succession, they're probably not ready to give it the ensemble. And they want to make some history, so they may do that, but still give them the actor categories. So
I don't know if we dare invoke the Golden Globes. But there was there was a supporting actor win that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that it's going to be very interesting to see what that show does Emmy wise. Like, I can't, like, that's one thing I'm really looking forward to Emmy season about is like really seeing if that can actually go, like, how far it could actually go. Like, is this just an us thing or is this like, and it's also,
well, especially because it'll be almost a year after the show came out.
And yeah, that's the thing, yeah. It's a lot of time.
And there are a lot of shows. I don't know if you heard, but there's a lot of TV out there. So
there's nothing to watch.
But I still think just the history making nature of it is at least going to get it some noms.
Yeah, for sure.
At the very least. So Squid Game's going to continue to play a role going into the summer.
Mike, I'd like to end this meeting with us on a bummer, please, if you would allow me. It's about TV.
Are we going to end now on a bummer?
I want to end on the utter disappointment that is Dexter New Blood.
I completely disagree. I thought the finale was fantastic. He's just shaking his head now.
Janelle, yeah. Let's talk about Yellow Jackets instead then.
I haven't finished Yellow Jackets yet, so I'm getting there.
I am Shauna. I took the BuzzFeed quiz.
I saw you did that, yeah.
I love Christina Ricci.
She's so good. The whole cast.
I need to redo my life again.
No, that cast is fantastic. It's unfortunate the way it, because it launched so late in the year, it just didn't get enough buzz to make it into the SAG consideration. And we'll see if they get season two out there in time for maybe next year.
Did they already renew?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I actually was, when I heard that they were renewing it for a second season already, I was a little bummed because I knew we weren't going to get all our answers in season one. But it's such a good show, and I'm loving how they're delving into the mystery, and we got a lot of answers. Sorry, they haven't aired. The finale that airs this Sunday will provide some answers. I'll put it that way.
Okay, that's the non-spoiler spoiler. Yeah. So.
Can I spoil Scream? I just saw that.
No, maybe I didn't see Scream.
I haven't seen it either.
I'm very happy that Scream is getting great reviews, though. That makes me feel good, because I love Scream series.
No joke. I mean, look, I think that David Arquette gives this performance where you actually see the effects of all these previous films. You know, a guy's been stabbed like 9 times in these movies, and they address that. And he, you know, there's even a music cue at one point when you see him that's like a gunslinger cue. And like, I think it's like a really, really beautiful performance. And also a reminder that like Neve Campbell should be in more movies.
Okay, so real quick before we go, as we...
Who's the killer? Well...
still party of five for life. Neve Campbell all the way. Before we go, so the big news sort of was that there will be a host for the Oscars this year. We don't know who it's going to be, but at the very least, they have said that there will be a host this year. So I want to hear everyone's suggestions, everyone's thoughts. Janelle, you got a pick for who should host?
I would say the man of the year in entertainment is Lin-Manuel Miranda, and the woman of the year is Melanie Lynskey. She's in one of the best movies and one of the best TV shows. I think they'd be delightful.
You want them paired?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
It's off the top of my head. I don't know.
Jazz, how about you?
I want to see Return to Old School and see Whoopi Goldberg or Billy Crystal host. Probably Billy Crystal host again. Just for nostalgia.
Go back to the classics.
Purposes. Yes.
Yeah. Clayton, how about you?
I want Middleditch and Schwartz. They're the greatest.
And just improv
them.
The whole thing.
Just improv the whole show. Yeah. Listen, if he would actually do it, like The Rock should do it.
Oh, sure. Hugh Jackman back.
Yes.
I think Hugh Jackman worked so well for the Tonys, and I think that,
but he was such a good
Oscar
host.
He was good. He was
good.
Yeah. I think we got a little lucky with him that one time. Like, I just feel like he couldn't be a repeat host. Like, I feel like I think we need some new blood. Actually, I want them to go to, like, I mean, I don't think, like, Lily Singh would work, but, like, someone, like, really out there left field could do well.
Well, here's my pick. It's not necessarily left field, but I think it works on a number of levels, including synergy, since ABC and Hulu are co-owned. But it's staring right at us in the nominations today, and it is the trio from Only Murders in the Building.
I had a feeling Steve you were Martin, going there.
Martin Short, Selena Gomez, who then brings the youth. I mean, you put those three up on stage, and I'm there. I'm watching. I mean,
not a bad idea.
Sounds like a fun 3 hours.
Oh my God! Yeah,
you should produce the Oscars next year.
Yeah.
So,
Page Six is reporting. Page Six has reported that Pete Davidson is evidently in talks. I don't think that's the way to go here, people.
No, Page Six is smoking something that is not happening.
Do you remember the year Steve Martin hosted with Alec Baldwin and they wore a Snuggie together?
Yeah,
in a bit. Okay, so I need that Snuggie with Martin Short and Selena Gomez and Steve Martin, one built for three, that they wear for the entire show.
Yeah. That's Mike, you know what's great about that idea, though? That you, like, it is literally the span of all the generations. Like, it is the entire Oscar gamut on the stage. Like, it welcomes the new crowd, it gets the OGs. And the people that are just fans, like, they would accept it and be fine. And and also, I'm a big stickler for making sure hosts are not in contention or nominees.
Yeah,
and none of them are going to get Oscar nominated this year. James Franco was bad for a number of reasons, but being a nominee that year bothered me the most. And Alec Baldwin, when he hosted with Steve Martin, was in contention that year because he got BAFTA nominated for It's Complicated.
Mm.
Not a fan.
Yeah. So this to me, like, it would just put a smile on my face. So let's put good thoughts out there and hope that maybe some of the producers of the Oscars are listening. They probably
aren't.
Hi,
Will Packer,
but just
if you're listening to this right now, listen to Mike.
Yeah.
Mike gave you the answer.
Shout out to Will Packer. And by the way, if you also want to take my suggestion from earlier in the week, which was Elmo, Zoe, and Rocco, since they are right now dominating social media, I think also that spans generations.
Yeah.
I am team Elmo on that, by the way.
Always team Elmo.
By the way, I know we do have to say one thing because we're gonna get flack if we don't. It's all over because it's on Variety today. Halle Berry's beautiful tribute to Sidney Poitier because we lost Sidney Poitier.
Beautiful.
And when I say the most beautiful thing that I've seen written about him came from Halle Berry's hand, it's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Clayton. And also congrats on your role in making that happen. That was amazing. And just today when I was looking at the issue.
Like, literally, I just asked her. Like, it's like she did all, like,
yeah.
We've seen a lot of op-ed tributes to people, and they usually tend to be like, oh, it's cool, it's nice. But hers, like, was good.
It was fantastic. And it made me, like, super, like, hashtag Variety proud to see that today.
Oh, good.
Well, I think we leave it on that note. Again, that was fantastic and such a great way to remember Sidney Poitier. So we will see all of you next week right here on the pod.
Enjoy Lin-Manuel Miranda and Rachel Zegler.
Oh, future Oscar host, Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yeah.
After the break, West Side Story star Rachel Zegler. From Los Angeles, this is Variety's Award Circuit Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. It's the Award Circuit Podcast, and I'm Clayton Davis. After Steven Spielberg posted an open casting call for West Side Story via Twitter in January of 2018, he eventually found his leading lady Maria in newcomer Rachel Zegler of Clifton, New Jersey, who was chosen out of more than 30,000 applicants. In this new version, Rachel Zegler and Ansel Elgort portray Maria and Tony, whose ill-fated romance flags the fires of the bitter rivalry between local street gangs the Sharks and the Jets. The cast also includes Ariana DeBose as Anita, David Alvarez as Bernardo, and Mike Feist as Riff, Rita Moreno, who won an Oscar for her performance as Anita in the 1961 film adaptation of the musical, appears in the remake in a new role and served as an executive producer. The remake was written by Tony Kushner and Mark Spielberg's first feature-length musical.
Tonight, tonight, it all began tonight. I saw you and the world went away. Tonight, tonight, there's only you tonight. What you are, what you do, what you say.
Today, all day, I had the feeling a miracle would happen. I know now I was right. For here you are, and what was just a world, there's a star. Tonight.
Zegler is one of the year's breakout stars, not just in what she showcases in her iconic duets like Tonight and One Hand, One Heart, but also in her infectious ownership of the camera, best displayed in the lighter I Feel Pretty, which displays her acting range. While we anticipate to see more of Zegler, including in the upcoming adaptation of Snow White, she angles to become the youngest Latina nominee in history. She could also join the few actresses that have landed noms for their debut roles, which includes Catalina Sandino Moreno for Maria Full of Grace and Yalitza Aparicio for Roma. I recently chatted with Zegler over Zoom, and I began by telling her I was beginning to feel punked that West Side Story might never come out.
I think we felt punked, I think, a little bit. It wasn't until, because we kept being told that we were going to see it, and then it just never happened. It was like, no, you're going to see it. It was like February of 2021, and then it was, you'll see it in May, and then you'll see it in July, and then it didn't happen until September of this year. So really just the very last moment that they could possibly show us. And it was the five of us. It was Ari, David, Ansel, Mike, and myself in the Zanuck Theater on the Fox lot, just all spread out in this theater.
Just the five of you?
Just the five of us.
Not even family?
No family, no representation, just the five of us. You know, we're all masked up. We're all sitting like five rows apart from each other. And it was the most terrifying, jarring experience I've ever had in my life in a movie theater.
How? Hold on, wait. Pause.
Yeah.
Rewind a little bit. You have to set this up for me. So five of you enter a theater.
Yes.
You, your first movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg movie, by the way.
Yes, no big deal.
And you sit down and you're like, I'm going to watch the movie that I just did, West Side Story. And what is going through your mind as soon as the lights go down?
Well, the lights.
Tell me you threw up.
I almost did. I mean, like the curtain opens and you just hear brum bum, brum bum, brum bum. And I'm like, oh, it's a real thing. Because like I said, we thought we were being punked. We're like, maybe we just thought it up in our head and we've been gaslit by these people for like 2 years. That they're like, yeah, the movie that you made. And we just didn't believe that it actually existed. And the second Kyle Kaufman pushed through that door in the opening scene of the prologue, I was like, oh, my God. We screamed. I mean, I screamed, and it was me and David Alvarez, really, were making the most noise. You know, we were like,
it's like body movements and like
literally like convulsing. And then like he was the one kind of closest to me behind me. And I would literally just like turn around and look at him and just be like, I just kept looking at him because we just look so bizarrely different from when we made it. I was 18. I'm 20 now. And so I just
look at you like an old lady now.
I'm decrepit. I mean, I felt like I had baby face while I was making it. And then like watching it now as somebody who's just, and also just the year we had in between where it just felt so bizarre to even be sitting.
Wait, what happened in between?
Exactly. That's the fever dream. That's the thing that that punked me, really, was the COVID of it all. But yeah, I mean, it really, I feel like we were punking you, but I also think that we were being punked as well.
Yeah. What a good prank that Steven Spielberg wanted to play on people. Like, we're making a movie, not making a movie.
We're not
Jackass Part 5. No, that's amazing. Oh God. And then, so you come onto screen maybe like 20 minutes in ish.
Yeah.
So you enter the frame. What, like, do you just like grab yourself? Do you like die?
I don't want to say that I'm like, I was disgusted, because that's really not what it was.
Yeah.
But I would say that the reaction would probably be read as disgust.
Yeah.
Because I just like covered my face and like sunk in my seat. And the second I started talking, I was like, oh God. Like, it was just this, such a visceral reaction to seeing myself on screen versus when they showed it to the like entire cast. Like, I was there. I think I was the only one from the principal cast who showed up to the screening for the entire cast. I just really wanted to see what everyone else thought.
Yeah.
And it's a special moment. I really think that it should have been all of us from the word go. So I was just really like jazzed to do it all together. And I was sitting next to Josh Rivera. And when I came on screen, he just started crying. Aww. And I was like, you're not grossed out by this. Like, it was so bizarre. So bizarre. I was like, you're not disgusted right now? Couldn't be me.
Why would he be? My God. Oh, okay. And then this is the last thing, because I didn't know we were going to open with this, but now I'm so interested. So the movie ends, credits roll. Tony's dead, spoiler alert. You walk off screen. Gino gets arrested.
Sweet boy.
Sweet boy. What do you do? What is Rachel Zegler doing once those credits start rolling?
Well, I was crying for sure. Yeah. I do remember crying, and then I remember turning around and Steven was walking into the theater. He didn't know that we were being shown the movie that day. He didn't want to know when we were going to see it because it was making him really anxious.
Oh.
And so it was a secret that we were there. And he was actually filming the Spellmans, I think, in Santa Barbara that day. So he flew from Santa Barbara back to L.A. and landed. And Christy McCosco-Krieger, our producer, was like, the kids are in there seeing the movie for the first time. And he came in during the credits, and I clocked that he was in the, I it was like an energy thing. I turned around.
Like, you were like Spidey sense tingling.
My Steven Spielberg sentence, my Spiely senses started like tingling, and I turn around in my seat and I see him walking, and I just stood up. I think I pushed Ansel out of the way and was like, let me hug him. Like, I need to hug him. And I just told him it was perfect and that it exceeded. I told him that I didn't know what I was expecting, but it exceeded expectations. And I honestly think I was the only one to have a real reaction immediately, and everyone else kind of waited, which I get, but I was just, I had to tell him immediately. I mean, we have a very close relationship, and for the past 2.5 years, we've just been talking about when you see the movie and when you see the movie. And he used to say that he was going to wait and like pace back and forth nervously in the back of the theater while I was watching it. And I'm just really glad that I got to share that moment with him in some capacity and, like, you know, give him a big hug afterwards and thank him for everything. I mean, it's a beautiful film, but beyond that, it changed my life in so many ways. And so it was just really, really vital to me to do that.
Aw. Aw, Rachel. You spark plug you. I love you. Great. So can I say something to you a little controversial?
Oh, sure.
So West Side Story, the show itself of in the Sondheim like repertoire, I haven't been the biggest fan of the show itself, right? Because, you know, again, it's a take on Romeo and Juliet, and I think when you modernize it, like a lot of things are much more pronounced, like Maria especially. Like, I was like he killed your brother. Like, yep, like you're a jerk. You're totally a jerk, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so a lot of that. And so I've never been like big on the show, but when I saw this, I was like I for a long time, I questioned why Steven did it again. Yeah. Like, I was asking that a lot, but then I saw you, and then I saw Ariana, and I saw this grizzled David Alvarez, this scruffy working man, David Alvarez, that Bernardo, man, that Ariana said it perfectly. And then I was like, okay, you gave us them. Like, yeah. you gave us them. Do you feel like this journey of West Side Story and what it's hopefully about to deliver for you and what you're about to embark upon, do you feel well prepared for it, this acting journey, this Hollywood machine?
You know, I don't know if there's any way to properly prepare someone for all of the different things that come with the lifestyle. You know, it's huge. It's a huge transition from being a wedding singer who didn't have any classic training. You know, like that's what I was doing before I made this movie. I was just singing at people's weddings and funerals and masses on Sundays and, you know, just doing everything I could and posting YouTube videos in hopes that Telsey and Company would email me and want me to come in and audition for something. And like, then to go from that to all of a sudden having all of your life aired out in magazines and gossip sites and strange, it's bizarre. At the core of it is like what you said, it's my acting journey, which I think I do feel prepared for that. I think Steven in particular took his time in just kind of lifting me to the light in a way and making sure that I had, you know, he helped me find my representation, and I have just such a great team of people that I love so dearly. And, you know, it brought me to my incredible publicity and my incredible agents and everyone who represents me. So that's one thing for sure. Just this cushion of protection I have and people that feel like family and people I know have my best interest in mind. And then, you know, you learn from those experiences. Your storytelling experiences prepare you for the next story. And I really do feel like I was so immersed in the world of West Side Story for so long. You know, I played the role on stage when I was 16 and a few months later auditioned for the film. And I was just in that world for such a long time.
Yeah.
That I know what it's like to be, you know, in a role. And now, you know, it's those different experiences now where I only spent six months with my character from Shazam, and I may only spend like 6 to 8 months playing Snow White. And, you know, it's gonna be this new chapter that is, you know, completely brand new from the past 2.5 years of my life. I couldn't be more excited, and I really do feel like I was taken care of and prepared to the best of their ability and my own ability at, you know, at West Side Story.
Amazing. I have to ask you a tough question. It's a natural one that comes up about Latinos in Hollywood. Mm. Very invisible that we are in roles, you know. And a lot of people have said it this way. There are a lot of gatekeepers to what qualifies as Latino. Mm-hmm. And you, which it's no secret and you're open, just the way I'm, you know, half Puerto Rican, half Black, you are half Colombian, half white.
Yeah.
And that has somehow, and I'm not saying I've seen this in the social media sphere, I'm sure you have, because social media is a good place to have intelligent conversations.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
People, you know, say like, you know, you're not really Latina, you're not, you know, you're this is a white lady, you know, why? I guess, I don't know, really question, why are people stupid? But like, why do we have this friction, this combativeness within our community, or this lack of understanding about what a Latino or, you know, is?
People find comfort in boxes. Is really what I've learned. And people found comfort in the bubbles they were filling out on standardized tests. And I don't understand it, because they made me uncomfortable, you know, because I'm a white Latina. I hold a lot of privilege. And if that's the conversation people want to have about my privilege in this industry, then I am absolutely welcome to having that conversation. Yeah. Because yeah, it falls on my shoulders to open up the doors for the people who, you know, or they're disenfranchised in this industry. Yep. You know, like having Ariana the forefront of a beautiful film this season is an incredible thing, and hopefully not the last of its kind for a long time, where we have to have this conversation of, oh, an Afro-Latina as a lead for the first time since Ariana DeBose. I don't want that conversation to ever take place again. Yeah. Like it's pointless to box people. and say that you can't, you're not this enough, you're not that enough. What dictates that? Who dictates that? You know, it's one of those things where, and even like, I even kind of resent this, like, she's half and half. You know, my dad is white, he's American, his family has been in this country for many, many, many years, and the same, you know, can't be said for my other side of the family. I'm more immersed in my Colombian culture than I've ever been immersed in my American culture. So mm-hmm. why does someone else get to tell me what I am? Why does, you know, I don't know. I grew up in a house that spoke the language. It was never really taught to me because there was this idea from my abuelita since my mom was a kid and when I was a kid that you will be American, you will speak English, you will go mm-hmm. to American school and you will get a good job and make money and have a family. And that's the life that's set up for you before you're born. And I just don't really understand why people think that certain facets of your life dictate your identity. You know, the thing about my identity is that it's my own, and this is the way that I navigate through the world, and nobody knows my day-to-day struggle. You know, like I said, I'm a white Latina. I don't get stopped on the street for the way that I look. That's my privilege. But when I speak Spanish on the subway, I've been spit on. I've been told to go back to where I came from. Mm-hmm. Even when I was, you know, born in suburban New Jersey, you know, it doesn't matter to these people. But they're the same people that will hide behind a profile on Twitter and tell me that because my dad is American or because my mom wasn't born in Colombia or because I wasn't born in Colombia, that my identity is invalid. Yeah. And it's a pointless conversation. And there's no point in fighting with these people. They've obviously made up their minds.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have intelligent conversations between people like you and I. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully these people listen to that conversation and learn something. But beyond that, you know, what's most important is the way that you feel about yourself and the way that you navigate, you know, your own identity and how you advocate for yourself and your people. And like I said, I'm a white Latina in an industry that is not necessarily kind to Latinas, but definitely more kind to white Latinas than anything. And so it becomes my job to make sure that those doors are opened to other Latinos who are not necessarily, you know, they don't fit the box. And we make sure that there are more boxes and that we one day don't need to put ourselves in a box.
Good girl. Good lady. I like you. So let's talk about the New Jersey-ness of you. Right?
No,
listen, I'm going to be like, listen, I was born in the Bronx. Woo! And I grew up a lot in Jersey City. So yes. I am true tri-state. I like feel for both and I will own both. And I hate that Jersey Shore gave this idea of New Jersey.
Of Jersey what it, Shore, not, but, Housewives. We're not like that.
Yeah. But you're from Clifton.
Yeah.
All right. And you were born at Hackensack because you're at Hackensack Hospital, which no one knows, by the way. Like they don't know that. Like they're like, oh, you're born at Hackensack. You live there. Like, no, that's where the hospital is.
That's where the hospital is. My mom was born there. Like my abuelita walked to Hackensack Hospital to give birth to my mom.
To most of my kids were born in Hoboken Hospital. Like it's just what happened. Like, yeah, it's just like pick. Like there's like three. And you get your kids born at, and that's it. Yeah. But you're very proud of like just like your, not just your upbringing with your family, but like the place that made you you. You know, you got shot in New Jersey and Patterson, and Newark. You know, there was a lot with the location and just, and I know a lot of the some of the ensemble was found there as well.
Yes.
Did it feel like? Did you feel like you were showing the ropes, or kind of like, you know, guys, like, let me tell you about New Jersey. Let me tell you this place around here.
Absolutely. I mean, we were in Newark shooting, you know, we shot I Feel Pretty in Newark, and also the scene where Chino tells Maria that Bernardo was killed by Tony. Mm. Spoiler alert, I guess. I don't know. It's been hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Since Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, by the way, Chino, the hero of West Side Story, he saves Maria.
Team Chino t-shirts on sale now.
Yeah.
It's honestly like we were working, you know, late night in Newark, mm-hmm. which in my brain, don't be in Newark past sundown.
Yeah.
And Josh Andres Rivera looks at me and he's like, let's walk to Crafty. I'm like, you want to walk in Newark in the dark? Like, and we did. and I don't know how I let him convince me to do it. My producer was so furious with me because my mom, who was on set every day, because I was a minor when we started, told Christy Krieger, like, just don't let her walk around. It's, you know, it's Newark. It's not the nicest part of town. So my mom's
literally the one thing you're told not to do.
I know. We're like, you know, and we were fine. It was in Newark is a lot better than when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
So like, when I was like very young, that was just the most dangerous place to be. Yeah.
You shot by Ironbound section, right? Like it was.
Yeah, we were in the city.
Yeah.
We were by the First National Bank of Newark, yeah, which is where Gimbel's was built.
That place has changed a lot.
Yes, it is. It's not bad. I think Microsoft is over there. Like, there's a whole like
gentrification got there.
Gentrification hit Newark real hard, like, yeah, with a truck. Yeah. And so, yeah, I felt like a lot of the times we were shooting in Patterson, and when Phil Murphy came to visit set with Tammy Murphy, I was like, these are my homies. Like, and then Bruce Springsteen was there, and I was like, that's also my homie. Like, we all know each other. Like, we are all buddies. Yeah. I promise. Yeah. You know, I just feel like a camaraderie with everyone from Jersey. So like Jennifer Florentino, who's from Patterson, who's in our ensemble, she was just the most emotional person because she was shooting America on the streets where she grew up. And like that's something, you know, obviously we didn't shoot in Clifton, so I didn't get that. But there was such a pride for her that was so beautiful to see. And like Carlos Gonzalez, Melody Marti, they both went to Montclair State, which is where I was going to go if I didn't book the movie. And so there was just this like...
Your college dropout, you.
Yeah, like, sorry.
I was going to go.
All right, Mom.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. No, that's awesome. In looking now at West Side Story and what it's done, you know, it's critically acclaimed. The box office was not as much as we would want it because there's a pandemic happening.
Yes.
Pandemic happening
and we're not Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Spider-Man of musicals, if you want to be honest.
I mean, I would die on that hill. Josh and I were like, we went and saw Spider-Man and we were like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Did you see it in Newark in New Jersey?
No, we saw it in New York. We saw it at the theater where we saw West Side Story together for the first time, which was really cute.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
All right. It makes me worried for future movie musicals. Is there a movie musical that you really want to do in the future?
You know, it's interesting. I have always had this idea of Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 being a movie, and I would love to, you know, obviously I'm going to dream cast myself in it. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I would love to be Natasha. And I think Oscar Isaac would be such a dope Pierre. And then we'd get a Latino musical. It would be a Latino led musical. And it's just such a cool show. Also, I'm really like hoping a Hadestown movie happens.
Yes.
Whether it's part of it or not, but like a Hadestown movie would be sick.
Yeah, I've been waiting for a Pippin movie for a very long time, and I'm ready for a Damn Yankees remake. I think you make a great Lola.
Thank you so much.
I think you'd make a great Lola.
That is maybe the biggest compliment you could
yeah. give me. I was telling Ariana that like I'm also my favorite Sondheim musical is Assassins. I want an Assassins movie.
Yes,
like, so bad. Yeah.
Who did you cast as John Wilkes Booth in
Assassins? Now, I mean, I like the original. So I don't know.
I know.
I mean, Oscar Isaac, probably.
Like, let's make it happen.
Trend going. Yeah.
I just want him in a musical movie so bad.
I have two more questions for you.
Yes.
One, the film is generating something called Oscar buzz.
Ooh.
This is where buzz builds for the Oscars.
Ah.
I am the film awards editor at Variety, and there is a substantial chance that you could be among Oscar nominees, along with many of your cast members. I love the fact that I get to throw out that Rita Moreno, if she gets nominated, she's the first Latina to ever get nominated a second time.
That is
it's gross.
Crazy.
And she'll also be the oldest nominee ever of any category.
And if she were to win, that would be the first.
I mean, she'd be the oldest winner also. She'd be the oldest nominee just getting on.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But how does that like compute in your head of like it doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, like, literally you said that, and I think I blacked out for 2 seconds. I mean, it's crazy talk. When I was making this, I'm not going to say we, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, because maybe that was a goal for a lot of people making the movie. I truly felt like I won the lottery just getting to be there, because I worked so hard to get the part. And then the feat, you know, it's really one of those things where it was like you climb the mountain and then you're looking at the next mountain, and the next feat was actually making the movie and making sure that it was good and having those like panic attacks the night before I was supposed to start shooting, being like, I just want to do a good job. And so obviously reviews are one thing where you're just reading, you know, I don't read them, but I got this email that was just like, you know, good. This was a good review. This is a good review. And it was just mind boggling that so many people enjoyed our film in such a real way. And the compliments on my performance have been so just heartwarming. I can't believe it. And like, so that was the next hurdle. And then with this conversation surrounding awards is just something I never in a million years would imagine for myself. So to be in the conversation among such talent and such incredible performances this year, like the best actress race is always such a crazy whirlwind because as someone who has actually really paid attention in recent years, because I it's just very interesting to me, it's fascinating to learn, you know, the politics behind it, and you know, but also the real talent that's there, and it's a crazy conversation every year. I've been watching your threads for years where you compare what you thought at the beginning of the season versus, you know, right before it starts. And it's just so interesting how the conversation changes and shifts.
Yeah.
There's, I think, two Latinas in the conversation, you know, I would love to see Tessa up there, truly. You know, having an Afro-Latina up there for a movie like Passing is just incredible. And so, you know, I hope that more people like us are in the conversation, you know, because the conversation is very much centered around a lot of white performances this year. Yeah. And it's something that I think is interesting just because we've been working towards opening up these barriers and breaking them down for the past couple years. And it's always interesting to see how much work we really have to do.
Yeah.
So obviously to see my name in there is really great because I'm representing for my people. And that's really what matters to me at the end of the day. So, and then to see Tessa up there, not only as one of the only Black women in the conversation, but also she's Afro-Panamanian.
Yeah.
Yeah. To see somebody, you know, from Panama as well, is it's incredible. So, you know, that's how I feel about it. It would be so wonderful to be nominated, truly. But I'm very proud of our film, and I'm proud to just be in the conversation representing for my people, and also being so young and being up there is really cool. Because
no, you're old. You said you're 20.
I'm decrepit.
It's done. That's it.
I'm decrepit, but not as decrepit.
Yes, it's true. My last question. Feel free to tell me as much as you like.
Yeah.
Shazam and Snow White. Like, so what happens at the end of Shazam? And what's Snow White about?
There's literally a Batman in the window shooting darts at me and Mickey Mouse in the other. Yeah. It's, you know, I of course, my first three projects have been these three things that are just like airtight. You cannot tell a soul.
Yeah.
With Shazam, you know, I worked really hard to keep my character under wraps, and Helen Mirren went and spilled the beans. It was hysterical. Like, she went and did like an Associated Press interview and just told everyone I was the secret. Like, my character was the secret. And then, but if anyone's going to spill the beans, you know, I might
just let Helen Mirren do it. That's fine.
Yeah. Please. I was like, you can get in trouble. I mean, you're not going to get in trouble, but you can get in trouble. You know, so yeah, there's three goddesses. I am the youngest of three goddesses. We're three sisters. And yeah, we come and we shake up the Shazam-ily a bit. It's such a fun movie. It just had test screenings recently and it did really well. I mean, I don't think we have to reshoot, which is pretty exciting because we were really certain that, you know, it's a very CGI centric superhero film. We were certain that something would have to get redone. I'm sure that there will be, but not extensive from what I've heard, which is pretty wonderful because it.
So you haven't seen it yet.
No, I mean, we wrapped like the last day of August of this recent summer. So it, you know, I guess I don't really know how films actually work because I didn't see West Side Story for 2.5 years, but like, you know, when you asked that, I was like, no, I haven't seen it.
You watch it? I don't see the movies.
I don't see the movies. They don't show them to me. I love my costume. It's yellow. People know that already. And yellow's my favorite color. So okay. It was cool. I mean, it was really weird to be a part of something that was so, people were so excited about, where like, you know, we were filming on a rooftop of a parking garage, and there were people who got rooms in the hotel looking over the parking garage just to take photos. Like, being part of something that was that exciting for so many people, it's really cool. And the fans are awesome, and they have so many theories, and it's fun to read who's right and who's wrong. And I mean, it was such a joy, and truly, like, getting to work with some incredible people. I mean, Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, Jack Dylan Grazer is just such an incredible young actor. I was just mind blown by his ability to improv every single day. So yeah, I'm very excited to see that finished product. As for Snow White, I mean, we start pre-production rehearsals in a couple days. So it's pretty wild. I am moving to London soon, and I'm really excited. I know more than the public knows about, you know, casting and things, so I can't say anything about that. I didn't know about Gal Gadot until the deadline came out. So I was like, hey guys, can you tell me next time? Like, I'm the title character. I'd like to know. It was just this.
Nope.
You know, no, I can't. Rachel can't know things.
They don't let you see the movie. So they don't tell you who's in it. Come on now.
I keep telling people, I'm like, well, you know, Shazam comes out in 2023. We wrapped in 2021. West Side came out in 2021 and we wrapped in 2019. So Snow White probably come out 2037. I'll actually be decrepit by the end. And yeah, it'll be great. But I'm very excited about it. I've had a couple costume fittings and conversations about the script, and I've heard the music, and it's something really special. So I'm very excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Is there anything else that you're working on that we don't know that you will give as a scoopage? Is there anything
I'm working on an animated film, but I can't talk about what it's called, who it's with. I'm really sorry. I wish I could give you more, but I think that news will probably come out soon.
Okay.
But I don't know. See, nobody tells me things, Clayton. I don't know. Okay.
That's fine. We'll work with your team on that. That loving team that you
speak so highly of.
Rachel, thank you for spending this time with me. You are precious cargo. I enjoy all your social media postings. I enjoy Chino so much. He's a good one.
We are rallying for Chino in 2022.
That's Rachel Zegler, star of West Side Story, now in theaters. And that's it for this edition of the Variety Award Circuit podcast. Drew Griffith edited this episode, and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest Oscar predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tanke, Janelle Riley, and Michael Schneider, I'm Clayton Davis. We'll see you on the circuit.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.